Hey, listen up, idiots. This is your spoiler warning. Also, you might get offended, so warning for that too, you idiots.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And my name is Ryan.
And, you know, when we get together and our powers combined, we form this beautiful thing we call...
Experience Grind Podcast.
Wow, I mixed it up there.
You did, and pulled it off.
Yeah, it worked.
That's the kicker.
Yeah, that's you get new friend or
there it
new
is
new hotness.
Here we go.
There we go.
What we from went with Men a fucking Black. Will Smith quote? Yeah. God damn it!
Old and busted, which is what every other podcast air quotes is. New hotness.
Sure.
We bring new things like two guys talking into microphones in a room. Two white
That's
guys.
That's pretty new. Also yeah. Referencing Will Smith.
Yeah.
Never been done before. All right. One, I've kind of been off Will Smith for a while with some of his choices.
Sure.
He's going to be the genie in the upcoming Aladdin remake.
Has that been announced?
Has been announced. Guy Ritchie's directing it. This just sounds like the worst thing ever and makes me respect him even less.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's a man who birthed Jaden Smith.
What about this? Have you heard? It was the first time I've been excited.
Michael. Oh, shit.
Michael Bay.
Yes.
He's making a Duke Nukem movie.
No. What?
With John Cena in talks to star as Duke Nukem.
What?
I am fucking pumped for this. If they go for R, which you have to.
Which Bay can do
and you,
R.
And you make it like a weird comedy thing, sort of like a Baywatch, a 21 Jump Street,
yeah.
But with crazy over-the-top action, big-titted bitches, aliens, yeah. John Cena dropping Duke Nukem one-liners. That could be fucking awesome.
Is Michael Bay producing or is Michael Bay directing?
I don't know. I know he is attached.
Okay. And if he's producing, I'm
cool.
Fine with this.
If he's directing, yeah.
It's not good if he's directing because his last rated R movie, Pain and Gain... was totally all over the fucking place.
It was.
It was not funny or shocking or fun.
Game,
oh, I hated it.
I watched it and I was like, that wasn't bad.
I morally objected to almost all of it.
I've seen,
really hated it on like
I've seen
a
worse,
deep level.
Because I've seen the first Transformers.
What? No, I would argue that Pain and Gain is worse than the first Transformers. After that, it's a fair contest.
Dude also did The Island, which I enjoyed.
I love The Island. I don't even just like The Island. Yeah. I love The Island.
You give me ScarJo. You give me Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor doing two roles again outside of Fargo, and they're both fantastic.
And you give me the same shot from The Island, and then you reuse it in Transformers because you're a budget-conscious guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that. Little movie fact for you.
He did.
The same shot from The Island was reused in Transformers 2?
Mm-hmm.
I think two.
I think it's Revenge of the Fallen, yeah.
I think two.
It's either two or the first one. Is the first Transformers movie the only Transformers movie you have seen?
It is. And I saw that thing in theaters, and I was so upset. I was like, I'll never see another one of these.
I still think the first one has some fun moments. There is... Oh my, I really wish you had seen like where it goes from there, because it keeps dropping off like
yeah.
Real bad and real fast.
Like I knew it was going to. I did not enjoy a second of the first Transport. I was like this close, and my fingers are like half quarter inch apart, like to just getting up and leaving.
Wow.
My biggest like I found it so hard to follow anything that was happening action-wise on the screen because the goddamn robots are so busy and intricate. Like, They all mesh together and it's two gray blobs rolling around on the screen and then, oh, something happened. I don't know. It was awful.
You're not wrong. And I think everybody has that criticism. I don't know. I thought the first one had enough of that Spielbergian kind of fun to it where it didn't just feel like bullshit exposition to get to this big set piece that, as you said, looks like complete ass because it's just like gray, amorphous nothings just rolling around into nothing in like a street. And then there's, you know, there's practical explosions. Those are nice, but...
And you want to know the two parts that really, like... It's just me personally, but the two parts that just were the nails in the coffin, I was like, I'm never seeing any more of these. The end of the movie, They're in Times Square, and Shia LaBeouf gets attacked by a Mountain Dew machine that goes rogue.
Yeah.
And then
an Xbox.
Xbox 360 that runs out of an Xbox 360 store. Also attacks him. And I was like, man, like, I can understand product placement. I get it, but I was so over the movie at that point that when those two happened, I was like, fuck this.
It gets worse from there.
Oh my God.
Actually, I think you need to see them, because I think they get so bad to the point. It's like Troll 2 level where it's really? Like, why are we making these decisions? Like, is this just like, are you picking random things out of hats and putting
Give
them on the
screen?
Give
me one more example of something like that.
John Turturro has the line, I'm right under the enemy's testicles at one point. And then we see
robots.
His shot looking up, and it is a giant robot, but they have like the big, two big, what are those balls on the end
balls?
Of the... Yeah, okay. Just dangling, going clang, 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 real loud. And I think he even said something like,
what are you doing?
And they're impressive or something. Because, of course, because everything gets turned up to...
What about in Transformers 1?
There are two real racist monkey robot characters
okay,
in the second one that are so ghetto and streeted out that it is...
Thank you. Because you set up my other complaint with one. Because how about Jazz, the robot, in Transformers 1 is the black robot that speaks incredibly ghetto.
Uh-huh.
And is the first robot to die.
I think the only good robot to die.
I think so.
Yeah, if I remember Jazz, correctly.
And he like shows up, and like 5 minutes later, he's dead. He's like, yo, what up, honkies? Let's get these motherfuckers and get them in the street, because that's where I'm from. Oh, shit, I'm dead.
It gets worse from there. At one point in the third movie, Ken Jeong shows up as, I don't even know why he's in the fucking movie, but he's in like some business office and he's onto this secret Decepticon spy, which is a fucking printing machine. And so he pulls out two fucking pistols in John Woo fashion and fucking leaps out of the window backwards like Trinity from The Matrix 2. Shooting, and then he dies. He just fucking splats on the ground, and it's like this weird comic. They're going for like a comedic effect,
what
but like a man literally just splats on the ground and is dead. These movies, man.
There are
like several scenes in that fourth one that all talk about like the Juliet law, the Romeo Juliet law about like the statutory rape, and certain like there is a character who is. Only there to deliver like, well, it's not statutory rape in certain states because this and this, and he just is like, that's a reoccurring thing. This is an absurd fucking series, and it just gets more bananas from there.
You have talked me into experiencing the rest of Fast and the Furious. You still have not with Transformers.
Fast and Furious are fun and wholesome.
Yeah.
Transformers are garbage.
Yeah,
but it is fascinating to see like. How wrong the movies can be, but like, there's still an audience for this shit.
Because, dude, you have worked at a movie rental store. You know the fucking ignorant, ingrained, stupid fucking people that watch movies and what they watch.
Yeah, oh, I do.
You could fucking. I've been in the movie stores that you've worked for, and I could just tell it's a game that I play, like. Oh, I know exactly what this person is renting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know what this person is going to fucking rent.
Mm-hmm.
You just know. Stereotypes exist because of fucking people like that, dude.
It's true. It's not a stereotype when all people are just horrible in current year.
And stupid.
And stupid and ignorant and wrongheaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a reason.
That's the world.
They're the majority of the people, and it's why movies like Transformers make $1 billion and sucking its dick a billion times again. Blade Runner 2049 completely underperforms, and it blows all those movies away.
It does. That said, anybody who thought Blade Runner 2049
nobody
was going to be a huge hit when they were making
nobody
it.
Nobody did. Exactly. They did that because they wanted to. And I think everybody knew, like,
and good on them. Good on them for getting Sony's money and fucking doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I support that because Sony's funded so many just artistically bankrupt shit shows over the last several years. Good. I'm glad they lost out on a ton of money. on art, finally.
You know what I love?
What's that?
It's that we're supposed to be talking about a fucking video game right now, and we don't want to so badly.
I thought of several segues as I was talking about. I was like, nah, this is going to be more fun. But before,
we're going to segue even more, because we're not getting into it. Because if you've read the title, you know what this is. And if you know Ryan and I personally, or even on the internet, you know what this episode is going to be like.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're going to put it off just a bit farther. But we are talking about a Final Fantasy game.
We are.
I'm going to say the quintessential of all RPG series. I think it defines more. It is more popular, more well-known. It's the, it's the Transformers of the RPG genre.
The only one I would give you is maybe, maybe, if you're considering Western RPGs, yes, like Fallout then comes into play. You maybe have Dragon Quest, which is still like real huge in the East.
They are. And Dragon Quest is a massive franchise in Japan. Final Fantasy is still pretty big over there. It's still, I think everywhere Final Fantasy is king, but its throne is challenged more in different areas.
There you go.
Let me say it like
there
that.
There you go. I'll say that. Yeah.
Because when, you know, anything Final Fantasy related, it's going to do. Dude, there's a fucking $300 30th anniversary scotch that they're selling. Like $360.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think they've ever done that for Dragon Quest. It's absurd.
Stupid. Oh, no, I bet you they have. But it's only in Japan. You don't hear about it.
Well, the scotch is only in Japan, too.
Oh, is it really?
So it's being sold in physical locations. And then the internet sales will be a raffle of what is left over that doesn't get sold at physical locations in Japan. Because it's a Japanese brewery.
Yeah. How much is the price going for on one of these fuckers?
Like $360. It's a 30-year-old scotch, which... that's, I mean, I think the Final Fantasy being slapped on it is kicking it up probably by 100, 150.
Yeah.
But a good 30-year-old scotch is going to be expensive anyways.
It is. It is.
I do think it's a cool thing. It's a nice thing.
This is a really niche thing. Like, really, well, yeah, because like it's not only just targeting Final Fantasy fans, but like the Final Fantasy fans who actually have the money to afford a nice scotch. I know a lot of Final Fantasy fans, and they are not, like, spending money on some nice scotch like that.
You know a lot. Well, I know a lot. Like, I know when I was a kid, I wanted all this shit. I'm an adult now. I could afford it. I know me and two other dudes were talking about going in on one of these bottles of
fucking
scotch.
Kidding?
No! Me, Ben, and Sean were all going to chip in and split it at the fucking expo. Because we're fucking Final Fantasy nerds. I have a fucking gunblade, Ryan. I have a gunblade.
I don't know. That probably cost as much or under a 300.
It did. It was
bottle,
under the bottle of scotch.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's much fucking cooler. That is cooler. Not just going to get used up and then be done forever. There's not going to be memories made over a Final Fantasy bottle. It is just marketing at its most shameless. And anybody who's spending the money on this, on this limited edition run, is a fucking fool. It's just a straight fucking fool.
Here's what I like about it, is that it is a 30-year-old bottle of scotch. So it started aging when Final Fantasy was released on the NES. That's a cool fucking thing.
If that was the intention,
it
all
was not
along,
the intention.
Then I would say that's something.
Because
you
Final Fantasy
something.
Was not supposed to go past the first one. It was the Final Fantasy. They threw everything they had in that.
Yeah.
Then it became a big hit. And so that's why we have up to 15 now.
Yeah, I look at this and I see BB-8 branded oranges. Like, what? It fucking doesn't matter. Like, the Final Fantasy label on it doesn't matter. And it is only just marking up a price.
Yes.
It is to make sure they absolutely sell those 300 bottles and get them done. And
congratulations, I bet it is a pretty decent scotch, though. I would imagine.
It's not hard.
I know. And I,
but like, I give me a $350 shot of that shit and give me like a regular. And like, I don't know if I'll be able to tell you which one I prefer.
I'm sure not. And I doubt I would either, even though I like scotch and I like whiskey.
I do too. I don't know.
But before we get into that, that's cool. I like that diversion.
All right.
You had brought up
several more diversions.
Yeah, I love it. It's what this show is. It's Experience Grind Podcast, parentheses, the diversion.
Okay.
The diversioning.
The diversioning.
You had the idea of discussing lesser known RPG gems, things that have stuck out to you over time. So not your Chrono Trigger, not your Final Fantasy, just something that you enjoyed or I enjoyed. So I know I've got a couple. What do you got? A few or?
Well, I guess it all depends on what you qualify as an RPG. But for the first one, I'll go with tried and true Japanese RPG and Lost Odyssey.
I knew this was coming up again.
I talked about this before, but I do think this is a fantastic game.
And I promised to retry it based on this, and I still am going to hold true to that.
I don't know
New Year's game
if
resolution.
You should.
Oh, really? Because you were adamant that I do it, not like last year.
I don't know. The more I see of you, Kyle, the more I see that you go back and you're still kind of pretty much the same in your opinions, mostly.
Yeah.
So I feel like I don't want you to waste your time. If this didn't strike you when you were first playing it, I don't know if it will. I don't know how far you got, but I think you said you made it outside of the first disc.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I made it past the first disc. And here's the thing I remember. I had... Kane.
Mm-hmm. Kane's the main
character.
Immortal guy.
Mm-hmm. And I had Jansen.
Yes.
And I had a girl. And
Seth.
We were escaping some sort of prison-esque.
All right. So you actually, you got pretty far.
I was pretty far.
You were probably like 8 hours in.
But I got frustrated with all of the reading backstory shit, which I know is a big part.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I personally wanted to retry it.
It's a game I got, and it was weird because it was on the 360, and I got it with, it was that, the orange box, which is the all the Half-Life games and Portal and Team Fortress, and Mass
Effect,
the first Mass Effect game.
Damn, dog.
So I had all three of those on that Christmas. I played Lost Odyssey for 2 hours, and I was like, I just don't feel this. Like, I'm not feeling this at all. I played the other two games. I fucking loved those. And then, like, much later, like 2 years later, I came back, and, like, I finally went into it. And it's like, oh, man, I was just being impatient. Like, I don't know what it was, but it was like I was reading those story things. Instead of getting frustrated, like, I think there's one where Kane's in this cell. It's talking about him being in a cell, being blinded for many, many years, and about going into the light for the first time. And just things like this that are beautifully written. Like, there was one about, I don't know, it was about a child's death or something, and it just made me fucking cry. And I was, like, sitting there literally for, and this was while I was in college, like, 30 minutes in, like, an apartment suite with three other, like, dudes who are drinking. And I'm just, like, sitting there, like, in front of a TV crying, reading text for 30 minutes, and they're just like, what the fuck, man? And it's like, I don't know. I just don't even.
It's the most Ryan-esque story I've ever heard. I love that. That's great.
But it's just really good. And then more so than just like being well-written in the stories, like the characters are really good too, and they come up with fun new dynamics to put them in throughout the entire game. And in a way that good fantasy games do, or good RPG games do, where it's like, yeah, well, I've seen Kane and Seth, but what about Kane and Jensen, or Jensen and these two kids that he hates? Like, now they're going to be in a party for a few hours. So it really, it's like watching an episode of Arrested Development. Like, the pieces get shifted around, and it's always very interesting how they do. And then, again, just Nobuo Uematsu with, like, I think one of his best scores. I absolutely love the score.
Because
it's great. Dark Saint is like the highlight track of the game. I heard this, I was like, this is it. Like,
is it your Duel of the Fates?
It is. It's up there with that. It's up there with like Sticker Brush Symphony, which is just like iconic themes I will never ever forget from video games. Like, this is up there. So Lost Odyssey, I think it's absolutely worth going back to. Because
it is Mistwalker Studios, which is three main guys that broke away from Square.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
but it is also very much a tried and true RPG. There's lots of grinding.
They also made Blue Dragon, which I also own, and
that one I didn't play. I played several times and I couldn't get into
it. Yeah, I'm the same way.
Couldn't get into it. It's that Akira Toriyama design. I don't like it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I know it works best in Dragon Ball.
Yes,
I have not seen it work outside of Dragon Ball.
It works really well in Chrono Trigger too.
Sure, because Chrono Trigger is 8-bit. It works just fine.
Yeah.
Or 16-bit or whatever.
The The good thing in the PlayStation remaster of that is the Akira Toriyama hand-drawn cutscenes. The bad thing is the fucking load times for every single fight.
I heard, yeah.
Which is a problem we'll be coming back to. Put a pin in that shit, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and jump in with one here.
Please do.
I'm going to go in chronological order of release the two that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
So the first one is a PlayStation 1 RPG, which I believe was Sony manufactured. They made this one in-house.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, tell me, audience, and I won't care because I'll just ignore you. But it's a game called Legend of Legaia, or Legaia, or however you want to say this. Have you ever even heard of this game, Ryan?
I think so.
So it's three characters. It's almost very Final Fantasy-esque. There is a mist that surrounds the world. And there's these towns that pop up around these specific trees that have the power to expel the mist in a certain radius.
Mm-hmm.
So these trees are like a very sacred thing. And the mist creates monsters which eventually invade these towns. And you pick up three different heroes from... You start off with just one guy.
Yeah.
And he gets this weird... It's almost like an alien thing that comes on his wrist.
Weird. What? Like, it comes on his wrist.
Well, it doesn't ejaculate on his wrist. But it attaches itself to his wrist, similar to like it's a symbiotic relationship, like the movie The Giver starring Mark Hamill.
That was a weird pull that I get completely. Yeah,
that movie's the fucking shit.
Also, Mark Hamill's transformation in that movie fucked me up forever.
Yeah.
Like, him turning that bug thing, like, really fucking disturbed me as a 6-year-old. And stuff,
but I loved that movie.
Yeah, I did
still,
too.
I still love the Kyber.
I have not seen it since a kid.
You know what?
And I don't want to.
No.
I want to keep that nice memory.
We're watching it this year
it's
for the show.
It's not going to be good. It's going to be so bad. No,
I bet it's fun, though.
All right, I hope.
We're going to watch it. It'll be B-movie. Here's the thing. Let's Patreon watch it.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
And we'll live stream it.
Perfect.
Have people watch it with us, and we'll comment on it. And we'll watch it together.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
So we're going to do that. But no, back to the Legend of Legaia. So they have like... These weird, it's what's that? Cowboys and Aliens. You remember that shitty movie where he gets the alien tech on his? Oh my god, you liked it, of course.
I thought it was pretty good.
Oh my god,
well done.
Well, so he gets the fucking the wrist weapon. That's what these three characters get that are like an alien technology.
And this was for the PlayStation 1, right?
Yeah, and
I think I do remember
the cool thing about it that I liked is that it's like. Everybody has their different, the three characters have like a different form of kung fu that they do, but you do moves dependent on like, there's a bar that you have to, you can do so many moves and I mean, the bar gets bigger as you level up, but each move cut, it's like one chunk of bar is like a standard move and then some moves are like two chunks. And so you have to like, you're fitting them in and making this weird combo system that they're going to go through. And it was a really cool, unique fighting system, especially for that time. Xenogears came out a few years later and kind of aped it and did it in a different way.
Okay. Okay.
But Legend of Legaia, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that game, and not a lot of people know of it. So
nice.
That's my one hidden gem. Do you have another? Or
yeah, I'll go with it. This one is the one that may or may not technically count as an RPG.
Sure.
But... Fuck it, why not? Brave...
Spencer.
Musashi. Not Brave Samurai Musashi, which is the PlayStation 2 one, which is like a Kingdom Hearts action game, and it's not that great. The first one the PlayStation 1 is fantastic. It's one of these games, you know, oh man, now I'm regretting this choice. It's like, oh, no shit. Yeah, that works out.
I've been planning to start streaming this.
Very nice.
I have so I'm holding up the case right here in front of Ryan.
The PlayStation 1 game.
Mm-hmm. This totally counts as an RPG.
Yeah, I thought it was, but I couldn't count.
It's an action RPG, but it's an RPG.
It is. It's like a mix between, I don't know, maybe it goes a little bit more action than RPG, but I think it's there in terms of character story and that Squaresoft feel from the PlayStation 1. And it's like a bunch of interesting characters. Though as I'm talking about this, I just remembered there was another one I loved too.
Go ahead, drop it.
But I lost it.
While you think of it, I'm going to say, so the game is
called... Please talk about Brave Fencer.
Brave Fencer Musashi. The thing that I remember is every time you press start on the menu, he says, Brave Fencer Mushiaden. You know? You remember this part? And it's like, as a kid, I was like, that's not the name. Like, what the fuck?
They didn't translate it.
No, not at all. But it's got, it's all the artwork is very chibi style. Mm-hmm. It's a better looking Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
Very similar, yeah. But they refined it.
Mm-hmm. It came out later.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's got like the overworld, you're running around, and you have a giant big sword and then a little katana.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of jump and flip around, and it's a very fun game. I'm looking very forward to playing it again.
Yeah, me too. The one I just thought of is maybe more obscure than this one.
Okay.
Because I think maybe going with a Squaresoft game.
It's still
probably
not a lot of
well
people that
known,
know
right?
One.
No,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I said it, and
choice.
You like lit up, was like, "Oh shit!" I have a
this
because
I love that
one.
Game.
Oh, okay.
That was a big part of my childhood.
Yeah, I loved that game growing up. It, again, it was one of the ones I was like, "Oh, I could do anything," but this is an RPG, and it's gonna probably be 40, 60 hours. I'm gonna spend my money on this one. But Jade Cocoon is the one I was thinking of, and this is one I have not played since I was a kid, so I don't know if it's aged well at all.
What is this one?
This one
sounds familiar.
Is a PlayStation 1 RPG.
Okay.
Where you go out and you collect monsters, you fight monsters, and then when you fight them, you earn them, and then you kind of breed your monsters to make new monsters to fight.
Okay.
And it's this weird kind of 3D Pokemon hybrid. It's like a mix between, I don't know, Pokemon and like Fire Emblem almost. It's this weird collectathon, but also you're like breeding and trying to like really refine. Like there's a deeper system than in Pokemon. And I think this came out when about a year after Red and Blue. So it was real close to that, but much, much deeper. And it was on the PlayStation, so I didn't have to play it in green and black on my shitty fucking Game Boy, you know?
Yeah.
So at the time, I thought it was pretty revolutionary, and it's one I went to school and like nobody fucking knew about. Like
I
everybody
vaguely remember
knew about Final Fantasy, and they knew about Parasite Eve and these other games. Nobody was on my page when it came to Jade Cocoon. I always remember having like a fond spot for that game. Don't know. Again, absolutely do not know if it holds up. It probably doesn't. But there's a little fond spot.
I like that. So that reminded me of another game that's not my
oh,
other
great.
Choice.
Yeah.
But do you remember a little game called Monster Hunter? maybe it was Monster Rancher. That's
I thought
what
you
it
were
was.
Joking.
No, I wasn't.
Because the Monster Hunter coming out tomorrow.
It's Monster Rancher.
Yes, where you put the CDs in.
You had put all the, and they had different monsters on them.
Hey, Kyle, I'm younger than you, and they also had a Monster Rancher Saturday morning cartoon.
I do remember this.
Which I watched.
Yeah. I played the original Monster Rancher, which I think predates Pokemon.
Yeah,
I'm
I think
sure.
it just didn't come out in America first. It was slow to come
I
over
think
here.
I remember Monster Rancher before I remember Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
Because it was one of those first games that I rented. Because, you know, going to the rental store, you kind of have whatever's there. And I remember seeing that one, and it was like, it'll be based off every CD that you own. And I was like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then it's just a lot of the same monster.
It is, yeah. There were like
it was a lot more dependent on the game that you owned for the PlayStation than the CDs. But I remember liking that game a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's not my final choice.
Kyle, what is your final choice?
My final choice is I'm gonna mix it up a little bit, bring it a little more forward. It's called Skies of Arcadia, which was a RPG for the Dreamcast.
Shit. I should have known you were gonna bring this up.
Yeah. And it also showed up on the GameCube later on as like the first attempt at a remaster.
Mm-hmm.
Just great game. Mm-hmm. Love Skies of Arcadia. Fantastic RPG. It's the grindiest RPG I've ever played. You have to grind. And that they made it better in the GameCube re-release because in the Dreamcast one, man, you have to grind out. But it's got this really cool shit. So, I mean, you fly like an airship. And you're like a sky pirate, and they've got all kinds of weird shit. Like there's like a Moby Dick and a Captain Ahab character that you get teamed up with for a while, and all of the big boss fights are like these giant. They're almost like Shadow of the Colossus style things that awaken from the earth.
Oh, that's
and
pretty cool.
You have to fight them in your airship, like flying around them, and like your airship hat. You have like guns and stuff on it, and you have to.
But it's still like a turn-based RPG while you're flying around.
Yeah,
like you're still
sort
picking
of, from
commands
what I remember.
And input.
Yeah. But you also have to like maneuver the ship too, like on turns to like maneuver it out of like its attack range. I remember this big one in the desert that stuck me forever that had like these eye lasers, and if man, it'll fucking like one shot you.
That's actually pretty fantastic sounding.
Dude, it's really, really well done. And eventually, like, you get your own, like, island that mm-hmm. you can customize with whatever you want, like, different shops.
Yeah.
And you can, like, build a statue of yourself as a sky pirate. It's, dude, it's really awesome.
All right.
And the thing that sticks out to me the most is that, from what I can remember, it's the first RPG or first game I remember having DLC.
Really?
And I
what
actually,
kind of DLC was it?
So it was, like, new weapons for the three main characters that you could play. It was like a fish sword, like a lollipop mallet that one of the people used.
Okay.
And something else that I can't quite remember that your mage used. But it was...
I don't know. It's probably like a unicorn dildo or something.
I wish it
judging
was.
Judging by what you were going on.
Yeah. It was really...
A ham bone.
But I bought it. Like, I used my mom's credit card.
Do you remember how much it cost?
It was like $6. I want to say like $5.99.
Jesus.
Yeah, back in those days.
For three weapons.
Yeah. Oh, I think there was some other stuff too. I just remember the weapons.
Oh, okay.
And they had
okay.
some nice stats. But I remember like I gave my mom like money so she would let me use her credit card.
I had to do that too
yeah.
back then. Uh-huh.
Yeah, back in
I
those days.
I want this thing on eBay, Mom. Here's $40.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I remember when I play Phantasy Star... You had to have the hunter's license.
Yeah.
And I would pay my mom $15 or maybe $10 a month, and she would let me use her credit card for a month's worth
man.
Of playtime. Those were weird days, man.
Yeah. I did not have to ever do that.
You weren't a PSO guy.
No. I played the Xbox 360 one.
Phantasy Star Universe?
Yeah, which was not great, but I listened to so much. Was that Kevin Smith podcast with him and Scott Mosier?
Okay.
I listened to like 100 episodes grinding in that fucking game.
Yeah?
It's fantastic. I loved it for that.
Me and
don't remember anything about the game.
Me and Casey Reuter both got very into Phantasy Star Online together.
Yeah.
And we played a lot
I could
of
see
that
it.
Together.
Yeah. I could see it being a lot of fun.
And what
with
was
group.
Really about that time, I had two phone lines because... You had your phone line, and then you had your dial-up internet line.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey would come over, and we'd set up my TV in the living room, and we'd both dial in on my two phone lines and just play like
okay.
all night and sit next to each other. And man, dude, just a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, those were the good days, man.
Yeah, that and LAN. I miss LAN. LAN
I
was
never
so
LAN.
Much fun
outside
really?
Of Halo. Halo. I did
Halo.
Yeah,
Halo. I absolutely LAN any kind of system link. I always try to do, and that was a lot of fun.
What did you land?
What did I land? Well, mostly, along with you, probably just Halo, really.
But I know you were a computer kid.
I was. I never land with PC. I had a bunch of multiplayer games I did with PC. Like, I was big into Counter-Strike and Day of Defeat and Team Fortress and any kind of Half-Life mod. I already said Counter-Strike. But any one of those I got into real hard. Quake 3 Arena or Team Arena, whatever. Unreal Tournament. But never did I have to land. We would always just kind of meet up and do it over the internet waves. Not the airwaves, the internet waves. Yeah, well, I don't know how much longer I could talk about this, Kyle. Here's a little peek behind the curtains, people. Kyle just gives me a question and then goes
yeah,
off the pee real quick.
But I heard everything. You played Quake.
Oh,
you played Quake 3.
I don't care about that. I just know I'm spinning my fucking wheels here talking
sorry.
About the PC games I play.
I remember I played... we would land StarCraft, but not on... I didn't have
never
a computer that
it.
Could run it, but...
StarCraft?
My buddies... Yeah.
Really?
Dude, I didn't have good computers as a kid. We always bought like the Walmart Black Friday shit, like...
Mm-hmm.
And we only bought them like when our old computer just got so full of stuff. Like, we didn't know.
Yeah.
My mom didn't know anything about computers. And I never had a good one to learn on. So, like.
I don't know how I knew this stuff as a kid, but my mom took me to go computer shopping whenever we need a new one.
That's cool. I mean, you're at the younger age where it was almost sort of...
Yeah, we
a lot of
grew
kids
up with
from your generation do know a lot more. Like, I know a lot now because I taught myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was almost like that tribal knowledge when
yeah.
you, at your age.
I think I was just on the
yeah,
cusp
cause
of
you're
it.
Not that much younger
yeah.
than me.
Yeah, I think you go younger than me, and they absolutely
were. But, like,
people
in your age bracket, like Casey and, like, Andy, they're a lot more inclined than I am.
For sure.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that absolutely has something to help. I had a friend who was maybe slightly older than you are, and just the worst of computers.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, like, he's at that age where it's just not going to click. Like, if you didn't learn it or get it in before a certain age, it's just going to be hard forever.
Yeah.
For you, and that's I don't know, computers, man. And now we got fucking people with fucking computers in their phones, walking
kids.
Around, just being little fucking social jerks.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You people are the worst.
We need a plague.
I think I shared the Bill Burr thing that like 85% of you need to die.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We need another wiping out.
Speaking of wiping out.
Oh, shit. Are we going to actually segue into a topic?
We are.
Oh, man. We put it off for 36 minutes.
That sounds about right. Let's, I guess, Ryan, do you want to talk about Final Fantasy IX?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I mean, I thought you were going to say no, and I was going to agree with you, and then we were just going to stop.
Oh, is that but the... that
we you already said
that?
Yes? You already
no,
said yes?
No, nope. I mean, I'll go back. I'll say no.
There are no go-backsies.
Oh, but there's totally go-backsies. We time, just edit it out. Like,
time
just
only moves in a forward fashion. There is no going back.
All of a sudden, Kyle, I'm going to go ahead and volunteer to edit this episode for no reason whatsoever.
Ryan!
All right.
Final Fantasy IX.
Yes.
Where to begin?
Well, I will say, I never played this game.
Even though it was your... New Year's resolution for 2017.
Well, no, that's why. Like, I had not played the game before this point.
Yeah.
And it was the one Final Fantasy after 7 that I just completely missed. And as I started playing, I remember why I skipped out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, one, the fantasy aesthetic never ever does it for me. It takes a really, really strong, well-written, well-designed game to grab me if it's fantasy setting. I think the Dragon Age games are fine. I'm not in love with them like I am Mass Effect. And you could argue the quality. And sure, you might be right. Dragon Age might be better. The fantasy just will never click with me. Witcher clicks with me because I think it's a high-quality game. But that setting, I don't fucking care about. So, when you lose that kind of steampunk, weird, futuristic setting that Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII were going into, and then where it's like, we're going to go back to the old fantasy roots, I was like, fuck, why? Like, we had a good thing going. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
And I felt betrayed. And then I saw the character with his dumb little monkey tail, and then whatever the fuck Quina was, and like just Steiner is like, why is that a knight wearing eyeshadow? And like almost none of the characters aside from Vivi I was into, and the story I didn't really hear much about except from Kuja. I heard Kuja is a fantastic villain, and that was the only reason I ever wanted to play this game, and so that sat with me. And then so New Year's comes around, and Kyle, you have this goddamn Zelda thing in your head. You're all ready to go. And you're like, hey, why don't you make a gaming resolution on the spot?
Yeah.
In my dumb monkey brain, it was between this and Chrono Cross, which I think you said you would have hated more.
No, I think I would have liked that more.
Really?
I like Chrono Cross.
Oh, no shit. Okay. Well,
2018 resolution.
Nope, I'm not making any resolution. This is the thing. No resolutions
Here's the
ever
thing.
Again.
I failed harder on my Zelda one than you did on your Final Fantasy IX one.
I still feel bad.
Ah, fuck.
I made it maybe 8 to 10 hours into this game.
I played Zelda for 15 minutes.
I think that's all you need to play at this point.
This fucking sucks.
And that, I think, is the big point here. Is... I don't think me personally will ever be able to fully judge Final Fantasy IX because I missed out on it when it was a thing, when I'm not going to be biased by the new systems we have. Because going back to this game, it feels archaic. It feels archaic without any of the nostalgia or attachment that I should have to it carried on. It is just an old RPG game. And you know what is not fun for me? Old RPG games. If I don't have that connection to it, there wasn't really much drawing me into it this mm-hmm. time. It just felt like a pretty standard rudimentary fantasy setting Japanese RPG. I did like how quickly the plot moved, at least in the beginning, compared to like Final Fantasy VIII. I think Final Fantasy VIII has one of the worst starts to a Final Fantasy game ever. It is 4 hours in that Balam Garden, just walking around, having people give you exposition and tutorials. Horseshit. At least this one had like some fun things. You get like the clues about Zidane's past. You meet Garnet / Dagger or whatever and do that whole play thing and kidnap her from the evil queen or whatever. That's all very interesting and it moves around really quick. And then you get to a dungeon and it is just grindy bullshit. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like, I don't mind grinding. I play fucking Dynasty Warriors games, yeah. right? Like, it's okay. Like, I can fucking zone out and mash a goddamn button. But it is, like, asking me to go from, like, playing Risk in 2017 to, like, now play checkers. But just, you know, play checkers for 3 hours until we arbitrarily say, like, you've played checkers enough that you're able to do this boss.
Yeah.
And as soon as I did that for my second time, I was just like, I can't play this game anymore. Like, I cannot do it. Because there just isn't anything fantastic in those opening bits to really pull you forward. And now, guess what? I have better things to play. Like, I have Persona 5, which I was not able to play, but is an infinitely better RPG in almost every single way. It's more complex. It has better systems, better characters, better writing, better dialogue. But it continue. Better art style. Better
there we go. That's the one
everything.
I was going to
better music.
Yeah.
It's all better now. And I don't even have time for that game. Why am I going to go back and play a fucking Final Fantasy game that I'm not enjoying? And that's, after that, I found it really hard to ever go back. So I have that save on my PS3 and it will probably never get touched again.
I like it.
What about you, Kyle? What is your experience with Final Fantasy IX?
So let's go back in time, history lesson. My very
just like Men in Black 3, we're going to go back in time.
Oh, shit. And I just said that we can't go back in time. I did. I'm breaking all rules here. Anyways, so my very first RPG I ever played was Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
I am in the majority there. There's a lot of us, especially now. That was our first taste.
Yeah, I think it might have been mine too.
Final Fantasy VII, to me, at the time, I had a hard time with. I'd never played a game like this. When I first rented it, after hearing all my friends talk about it, I didn't even own a memory card on my PlayStation. I had come directly from the Sega Genesis and SNES, where they have the memory built into the cartridge. I didn't understand how to save. And I fought that first Scorpion, like, 10 times.
Yeah,
but
even that's more exciting than the opening here.
So that was my first struggles. I eventually came, and you know, again, at that age, mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of games. So you spend a lot of time with the mm-hmm. games that you do have if you like games. I played a lot of Final Fantasy VII. Then I heard about Final Fantasy VIII. There's a new one coming out. And I had become so in love with Final Fantasy VII, I could not wait for VIII. And when 8 finally got here, it was a complete drastic change. I'd never played another Final Fantasy, let alone another RPG. And this drastic change threw me off. And I didn't like
sure.
it. I got like maybe a little over halfway through and it was terrible and I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting through like every fight by the skin of my teeth by relying on Guardian Forces.
Yeah.
And if you're really doing that in 8, you're doing it the exact opposite way.
Yeah. Is 8 the junctioning system?
Uh-huh. And 8 is... So here's the thing. I'm replaying 8 now. Mm-hmm. And even still, like, I try not to nostalgia it, but man, 8 is a really good game. But mm-hmm. it is also, in my opinion, the easiest Final Fantasy that you can just break and start just... It becomes so fucking easy once you game the junction system. But what I'm trying to get at here is that 8 left such a disdain and bad taste in my mouth. I didn't care about 9. I didn't want to play 9.
Huh.
I totally fucking blew. I was like, fuck this. Let alone the fact that you brought up it was going back to the fantasy setting, which, you know, 7 had that cool steampunk, yeah. 8 had that cool future, like still sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? This is fucking stupid. I like what we're doing here.
Right.
Don't, what? No, I don't care. Totally blew 9 off forever. I heard everybody suck 9's fucking cock so much.
Me too.
Because everybody in games media and every shit had grown up with the earlier Final Fantasies, and they liked that turn back to it. And so I just beat it over my head, like, no, 9's a great game. You're fucking dumb. You need to replay it. Don't you get it? 9's the best one. 9's the best one. 9's the best one. Here's the thing, people. 9 is not the fucking best one. 9 is the worst Final Fantasy in the numbered system. I'm throwing that out there.
There's no... I don't know if that's true. I mean, granted, I did not play...
This is my opinion.
Oh, sure.
This is my opinion.
Have you played 1, 2, or 3?
I've played every other Final Fantasy.
And you would say 1, 2, or 3 are better than 9.
Well, yeah. I've enjoyed them more, and they're much
really?
More...
Really? Yeah. Oh, see, I think they have no personality.
They don't, but here's the thing. 9 doesn't either. Man. 9 tricks... To me, 9 doesn't either. Mm. 9 is like... some fucking junior high kid writing a love letter about Final Fantasy that just hits all these fucking generic quips about it. But doesn't... I don't know, it's so...
That's interesting. That's a very interesting... Would you say Final Fantasy IX is the last Jedi of Final Fantasy?
It could be. It could be. But yeah, like... So, you know, when I finally did play it, years later, after everybody told me I was fucking stupid for missing it, and after I'd played like 10
yeah.
and all that shit, I was playing it. Here's another problem I have with 9, outside of everything that you mentioned, which I fully 100% agree with.
Yeah.
Terrible character design.
Mm-hmm.
Unforgettable. Or just, I'm sorry. Not
ugly.
Completely
ugly character
super
design.
Ugly. Just really dumb juvenile writing. And... Yep. So 9 has a point where you can totally get stuck and the game becomes like you're stuck. That's it.
Mm.
And in its fairness, I am going to get, it does warn you about this, but it still happened to me. And, you know, I will admit to my being an idiot
yeah.
in this sense, but there is a point where you go to a temple and the game tells you, hey, magic won't work here. It's under some sort of magic spell and magic doesn't work. And so it's telling you, hey, maybe don't take
your magic people.
Your magic people. And I was like, well, these are the only people I've used. I'm going to take these fucking people. And they don't fucking work.
Then you saved inside.
And you get slaughtered. And I only had the one slave slot. This is before I learned about, you know, creating multiple saves.
Yeah.
But it fucking sucked, man. It's pretty, it's like, I think almost over halfway through the game that this happens. And I was like, fuck this. I'm done. And I didn't play it. Didn't, I never touched it again. Till coming back to play it with you. For
sorry,
this.
Buddy.
It's okay. I got even less far this time.
Okay.
Before I just, I'm done. I played it for a year off and on. I made it as convenient as possible. Mm-hmm. I had it on my PlayStation Vita. I could take it anywhere. I could play it at work during slow times. Still, man, I cannot get into this game. And
yeah.
my other big complaint with this game is that it came out at the end of the PlayStation's life cycle.
It did.
Which means that they learned a lot about the PlayStation. But what that also means is that they push this game to the absolute limits of what the PlayStation can handle. And you start to really notice that.
Yeah.
Especially, so the most annoying fucking thing is that every random battle you get into, there is like a 4 to 5 second sweeping animation as it swirls around the battlefield, but what it's really doing is loading this fucking fight that you're about to go to. And it's the same issue that you have when you replay Chrono Trigger that was remastered on the PlayStation. When you encounter a fight, the screen freezes for like 2 to 3 seconds while it loads in all the fight information.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck, man, that gets draining as you
yeah.
keep going back. And it's random battles, so every fucking... fight.
It happens so frequently,
yes.
too. Mm-hmm.
And it just kills the flow and the pace. And it gets so annoying. It's like, I don't want to fucking do this. Yeah.
This is also, if I remember correctly, the same kind of open world where the random battles happen randomly. You do not see the monsters. You do not get to engage or run away. I've always fucking hated that. Ever since they came in and started putting that into RPGs, that is my preferred way. Don't ever give me random bullshit popping up. I don't like that.
13.
No, I hate. Well, I mean, if you give me that versus Final Fantasy IX, I'll take what 13's doing.
I don't feel strongly either way. I like both.
Okay.
I like a random battle, but I also like seeing a monster. If I'm going to be pushed into a corner, I'd say me personally, I like a random battle more, just because there's a surprise and not knowing what you're getting, and it gives it. You can somewhat adapt what you need to do on the fly. Whereas when you see it, it's like, oh, this guy, I'm going to go and immediately start doing this.
But that's
a personal
being
thing.
Being shown, and I have the option. Yeah. Because it's like, hey, I've got an hour tonight. I don't want to be fucking around traveling the length of one goddamn screen before I load the next level because I hit a fucking enemy every two steps.
And I get both. Yeah. I get both. And this is just a personal thing for me. And
Mine is definitely coming from a place of impatience. Like, I don't like when my flow is interrupted. Like, if I know and I can see those monsters, I'm cool with it. But, like, if I'm just constantly surprised with, like, guess what you're fighting now? Guess what? I'm not playing your game. Like, that's it. At this point, I'm not playing it.
So here's another thing that I don't like about Final Fantasy IX.
Lay it on, Kyle.
Nobu Uematsu, fucking fantastic composer, really feels like he phoned it in on this game. Nothing is memorable. Nothing stands out. I hate the overworld theme. I don't like the battle music. And those two you hear more than anything.
Yeah. I did like here's the thing. I did like the battle music, and I was really enjoying all of the music I was hearing when I was playing it. But now, 6-7 months later, I couldn't tell you anything.
I can't. Nothing sticks out. That's why
you're
I'm
right.
Saying
I can't tell you.
You like phoned it in.
I think so.
I can remember 8's music probably more than you because you didn't like 8.
I mean,
you can remember parts from 7.
What's that opening?
Noctis?
Fatali. It's something, but that one, like, I will always remember that song. Will remember Nobuo Uematsu stuff.
It's good. And 9's completely forgettable, much like everything else in the game.
Yeah.
9 also has this weird thing, like, it works for tactics, it works for 12. But, like, half the people in this game are, like, anthropomorphic animals, and it feels weird.
Yeah.
Like, because they don't even, it's like hippos. It's like, oh, here's hippo ladies. Mm-hmm. Here's rat people. They're just rat people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the 12 universe, you have the Bangas, which are, they're a type of giant lizard.
Oh, sure,
but they have, like, a culture. They're almost like Middle Eastern, Islamic sort of. They all wear like the flowy head stuff, and they all have like a lot of gold. Whereas like in 9, it's like, oh, here's a fat hippo in a dress, and here's a fat hippo chef, and here's a rat kid who wears a red hat, and here's just all that shit. And it's so fucking forgettable. And
I think it's childish more than anything. That's Japan seems to go down two very distinct paths. It's either overly childish and like focusing around that, or it's extremely fucked up and perverse and weird. Like,
and super those meta.
Those are the two modes. And I think at least Final Fantasy VII. I can't speak to 8 because anything I speak from is coming from a place of long, long ago and I didn't like it. But 7, I think, rides between those lines perfectly. You know, it doesn't. It's not overly simple, but it's not like too convoluted and weird and up its own ass. Like Japanese shit can usually get. Yeah. Like I think, like the Kingdom Hearts series, like those fucking games and their mythologies. Fuck you, and anybody who thinks that's a coherent story can fuck off a cliff.
As a huge fan of Kingdom Hearts,
me too.
Totally agree.
I love Kingdom Hearts.
I don't fucking know.
No.
It's fucking asinine. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. It's pretentious. But I fucking love it.
I will too. And I will give that game more credit than simple kitty garbage bullshit. And I'm 100% with you. Like, the anthropomorphic animal stuff is just fucking weird and, like, furry light. It's not quite like that, but it's also like, I don't know. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like it. Like, it just, I don't know. I just attribute it to like shit you would see in like a 12-year-old girl's journal. Like, I don't need that in a fucking, I'm a 30-year-old man. Like, I don't need to be playing a game with a fucking rat Finkaboo-boo character. Like, get the shit out of here. Like, that's,
get the shit out of here.
It's nothing, it's nothing special. And you're right. Like, there's no characterization, or the characterization is what you would find like a C-list Disney Channel afternoon cartoon. Not even like something produced by Disney Channel, something they bought from UPN many years ago.
Yeah.
It is just bargain level writing with like it's what you would expect when a character responds to something. You can guess exactly what they're going to say. Like, there's no,
they're very full of tropes. There's very
no
generic
thought or attention very put into
stereotypical.
It. It's generic. Yeah.
Here's another complaint. You ready for this? I got tons of them.
Me too. This is going to be a hate fest.
It is. People knew that you should know this going in. So every Final Fantasy I own the corresponding strategy guide to.
Oh, fuck this strategy guide. Except, I do know about this one.
Except for Final Fantasy IX.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because Final Fantasy IX came out at the beginning crest of the internet craze,
mm-hmm.
and Brady Games partnered with Squaresoft's then flagship internet enterprise, Play Online.
I remember. Mm-hmm.
So if you spent money on this strategy guide, every single page would tell you, hey, if you want to know how to beat this boss, go to www.playonline.com/whatever monster's name.
Mm-hmm.
It was a completely worthless piece of shit that you didn't know until you spent money on it. That it was it was wasted. It was a complete fucking cash grab farce bullshit to drive you to a website at a time when websites were not the premier delivery of information.
Internet was expensive back then.
Expensive,
it was
slow.
It ate up your bandwidth. Typically, you were on a family computer like I was, so you didn't just
get to
be on there.
Yeah.
Like, there were times, right? Like, Ryan, you're on for an hour, and then it's Casey's turn, and then your dad wants to read sports scores, and then I'm going to go play Pinochle online.
Sure.
Right? Like, if you're fucking playing Final Fantasy during Pinochle time, fuck you. You're going to get a shoe thrown at you for bothering mom. Like, leave her be. You're fucked.
Yeah.
It's more than that, more than just being a shameless money grab employee for attention on their website. It's just a needless extra step.
I spent money on this book. Give me the information you have promised me in this book.
Even if they were able to give you like a code just for you alone to go on this website, so like you are getting your purchase worth because nobody else is getting that, it's still just a needless extra step. Like, I don't know why they needed to do this. It is the same kind of Japanese thinking, and this is gonna, I hate how I keep saying like the Japanese negative connotations.
Okay, go ahead. Throw,
but it's the
throw
same
an entire
kind of
country
fucking
into the
thinking
bus.
That gives us the Switch in 2017, where you need a fucking cell phone in order to play online.
Not play online, but to chat with your friends.
Oh,
when every other fucking system has it integrated, because Nintendo still thinks that people are going to use it to try to diddle your kids. You know what? Maybe monitor your own fucking kids, Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's not your job. That is on the fucking parents.
I'm pretty sure you can still access YouTube via the Switch, and we know YouTube, with all its controversies, there's a lot of not kid-friendly shit on there right now.
Yeah.
So you're really not saving anybody.
No, you're fucking up, Nintendo. Like, you do so well, then this fucking Switch is so great. And then you shit yourself in the fucking asshole with this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you mind a tangent?
No, I don't care. Final Fantasy IX sucks.
Nintendo Labo.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on this shit?
It's stupid.
This is fucking absurd.
Yeah.
There's an $80 to $90 cardboard product being manufactured. I showed Laura this, and we were just both like mouths agape, just like, are they going to make money on this? What is this game? Who's going to enjoy building a fucking cardboard piano to play what is essentially Wii music on the Switch? Like, this is...
Here's the other thing.
Absurd.
It's fucking cardboard. It'll break down after you play with it for a bit.
It's not going to last.
No,
long.
It's not.
Which Donald probably it's probably part of their business plan.
You know how much that cardboard costs?
You buy another 80 piece.
$80. Here's the beautiful thing. We're not buying it.
We're not going to buy it. We don't but have to buy it. Here, that's the beautiful thing. The sad thing is, this shit's going to sell like gangbusters.
Oh,
it's going to
sell
like
hotcakes. It's going to be sold out.
There's going to be Nintendo Labos forever.
Not only that, the fucking opening sale week, it'll be selling for $300 on
eBay.
That's
right, they're scalpers. Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah. Ugh.
It's going to be so fucking dumb, dude.
I love how this whole industry sucks off Nintendo's dick one generation and then like wants to shit on them and say, oh, they're fucking dying. They have no original ideas anymore. The
never,
next generation.
Never ever.
And then it comes
that.
Back. It's like, oh, Nintendo's the best again. Give me that dick. And
I love how you're miming a dick ejaculating on your face and that people don't see that, but I saw
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You gotta commit to the bit. And the bit is these people are kind of, you know.
So when you say these people, you mean modern game journalists?
Say everyone. Yeah. Modern game journalists of the public,
they're
everyone.
They're the worst.
Everyone. I really, of all of my fandoms and my communities, the video game community, go fuck off a cliff. I kind of hate the video game
I
community.
I do too.
Just
and
in
this,
general. I don't
God damn
like
it,
them.
I wish we had fucking Nathan on the show now. Because as big a fucking video game nerd as Nathan is, his disdain for anybody in a video game community is bar none.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
will never find a person who hates the video game community more oh, than man. Nathan fucking F.
I.
P.
P. Jesus Christ.
I'm a little drunk. Sorry, Nathan. I love you, buddy.
I really want to hear these thoughts. So however we make this happen, like I do want to hear his thoughts. Because
here's the thing.
Nathan's
Nathan,
one of those guys, when I see his thing on Facebook, I always have to read it. Because it's always clever and it's very well thought out.
He is the best and I love you so much, Nathan. Yeah. But Nathan, you probably won't do it now because we're asking you to and you're such a goddamn disdain to authority. But call me and leave me a voicemail with your thoughts on video game fans.
Oh, shit.
And we'll put it in the next episode.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
It's pretty good. His fucking,
I want to hear this.
His hate.
I think there's going to be a lot of overlap because I hate video game culture. Like, I really disdain it. It's a lot of shitheads at the media, a lot of shitheads at the controllers, just a lot of shitheads everywhere.
The worst part, it's the same thing with any fandom. The most vocal are not always the worst. It's not only that they were the worst, but the ones that get heard the most are not the general basis of fandom. It's the most extreme, and they get the changes made to suit their needs, but then it fucks everything else up.
That's right. That's right. Everybody fucking cried for Titanfall to have a single player, and by everybody, it is that very vocal minority screaming about the single player. Oh, what? Titanfall 2 has a single player that is not only good, but like fantastic.
And nobody buys it.
You still don't buy the game.
You fucking assholes.
Eat a dick, video game industry. Hope you rot in hell.
Like, the best FPS that came out last year.
The year before, but yeah.
Was it 2016?
Yeah, 2015.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it was
dog.
End of 2015.
It had to be 2016.
Wait, what was last year?
2017.
Then it was 2016.
It had to be
what year we're in.
So it's a tie for best FPS that came out in 2016. Three-way tie.
Because Overwatch also came out.
And
what
so did Rainbow
one?
Six Siege, which I'm just
nah,
now
dog.
A recent convert
Doom
to.
Doom also came out that year.
God damn,
and
Doom
Rainbow
also did.
Six is below Doom. There's
Doom is
no
also
way.
So fucking good. I'm telling right? you, dog, Rainbow Six Siege has my balls.
I know, and it is a game that has always looked very interesting to me. I just
it is
don't
a very
have
niche game,
that team.
I will admit.
If I have a team and people I'm going to play with, I'd be down. But you guys are playing on PC, and yep. My PC is fucking shit. So, cannot be doing that.
Goddamn. For real, I have not been this into a game in a long... Probably since almost Borderlands 2 level.
No What? Because I know you were real big into Borderlands 2.
Yeah, dude. I've put like almost 40 hours into this game in like 2 weeks. Maybe.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
I played a lot of Rainbow Six Siege.
I like it.
And I've made, you know, I've adapted to it pretty well, pretty quick. I've made some nice fucking highlight sections of this game.
Yeah. How many people are on your squad in Rainbow Six?
On PC, we actually have a pretty decent squad. So we definitely have on Egg, mm-hmm. or Andy Eggleston. We're just going to fuck you, fuck your name. That's your name. We'll come back to you in a little bit. Casey plays.
Mm-hmm.
Love Casey.
Fuck you, that's your name too.
Yeah, fuck you.
Casey.
But you don't have a weird nickname you go for to try to hide yourself on the internet from, like a witness protection program.
It is weirdly like he saw a murder or something. Like,
yeah, he just doesn't want people from work to be his friend. And
oh,
it's funny.
That's fair.
But it's funny because he added one dude and was like, hey, keep it secret that we're friends on Facebook because I don't want people to add me. And then he said, like, 2 days later, that fucking dickhole put me in a group chat on Facebook with everybody we work with, and now everybody's at me. I was like, what a piece of shit, dude. Well, that sucks. So he's totally been, yeah, he's totally been shown out by everybody. But, so we have Casey.
All right.
I've got my friend Andrew from work, who is really cool. I played a lot of PUBG with him. He's pretty good. And on all of his friends play Siege with, and we kind of overlap. My buddy Maroon, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Maroon
yeah.
plays Siege with mm-hmm. us. And then, strangely enough, I do not know her name, but her tag on that is Godly Milk Tea. But she was randomly watching me stream Siege one day and was talking to me about it on Twitch. And I was like, well, fuck. I mean, you want to play with us? We're still playing. We're going to play for like another few hours. So she, you know, we became friends. She joined up with us. She's fucking amazing. She carries us like 90% of the time. And so she's fucking great, too. So shout outs to you, Godly Milk Tea. You're fucking great. I'm really glad that you just showed up and you play with us. I've convinced two other people to pick it up. So Brooks now owns Rainbow Six Siege and plays with us.
Nice.
And Blake, who is one-time guest on the show, Alex's fiance.
Oh, okay.
I think I've convinced him to get it, too. So
damn.
There are a lot of people playing this game. It's a two-year-old game.
Fun. But they keep updating it, because I just saw they're doing a year three expansion and releasing everything again. And it's like, God damn, if only it was on PS4. Like, if only people were playing.
I think it is on
PS4. No, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it on PS4 by myself. I already do that with Smite. I don't need another game to love by myself. Like, it's fine. Yeah. But that's great, man. I love that. And that's fucking great that Brooks is in it, too, now. Yeah. I didn't know that.
What's hilarious. So Brooks is where I was, like, at the start. He's not great because this game, it's like Dark Souls and Blood. It has a very steep learning curve.
Really?
Dude, you're going to get butt-raped a lot.
Is it just like a MOBA learning curve because you're trying to learn like the different classes and when to use
it's
what
not only
and
that,
how to play?
So like, it's also like, so here, it's the dumbest thing to say about a video game, but very realistic in the sense that like,
oh, okay.
You can't take a lot of, like, you get hit like twice with a bullet, you're going to go fucking down. You don't have a lot of health. And once you go down, like if you're dead, you're dead for that round.
Yeah.
So it's
like Counter-Strike is where it's you're gone, and it is very quick deaths in that game.
And it goes, like, so on the casual, it's the first team to three victories.
Okay.
So each, there's, like, rounds, and it's, like, it's best of five, basically, first to three. And each round is 4 minutes long.
Oh, that's
so you have 4 minutes to complete the objective or stop the enemy team from completing the objective. Okay. So.
So between 12 to 20 minutes per game.
I've heard somebody else describe it. It's like a very grown-up Overwatch almost because of the fact that there are, like, each character has their own abilities that they bring to the table and different benefits that they can do.
How many different characters are there?
There are quite a lot.
Is it comparable to Overwatch?
I'd say, yeah,
okay,
honestly.
So it's not, I in my head, I envision like, oh, there might be like 4 to 6 classes, and then you just customize a character.
No,
like, they actually have,
yeah,
like, there's names, and there are characters.
There are individual ones.
Okay.
So, just to give you my, you know, number one, fuck Final Fantasy IX, we're moving on.
Yeah.
We're done. That's fine.
Kyle, out of 9 Final Fantasies, what would you rate Final Fantasy 9?
Buddy, all right. I'm going to name it. I'm going to give it a 1.
That's real low.
Yeah, it's very low. Because here's the... We didn't even touch on this. I did. I don't like the music in this game.
You touched on that, yeah.
And there's nothing redeeming.
I was enjoying the music as I was listening to it. And I don't think anything in this game is bad. I just think it's extremely mediocre and doesn't age well.
Yes.
I think if I were to play this game back when it came out, 5 or 6 out of 9,
okay.
Maybe. Okay. But like as it stands now, going back to it, I don't think it's bad. 3.
Oh!
3.
I had it pegged.
You did.
I had it pegged.
Give it a 3.
Yeah.
3 out of 9.
Okay.
Which, I don't know. I'd say that's like a D-. Like, it's not the worst. It's just not fun anymore.
Yeah, to me, it is absolutely easily the worst numbered Final Fantasy I've ever played.
I would rather play this over 1 through 3. Play this over 13.
I'd rather
play this over 8. I'd rather play this over 5. And I would rather play this over 13-2 and 13-3.
I thought you were going to say 15. Okay. I like all of 13s and I like 15.
No, 15 at least moves along and I can do my own shit if I want to.
I would rather play Final Fantasy Mystic Quest than Final Fantasy 9.
I never played Mystic Quest. So maybe.
Mystic Quest is the Final Fantasy that got released on the Super Nintendo when they thought that
Final Fantasy. Oh yeah. I'd fucking way be down with that game because I guarantee you there's no fucking grinding.
No, there's not.
Yeah, give me that. Give me that shit.
Yeah. But anyways, let's talk about some Rainbow Six Siege more, because man,
I'm fine with this. Yeah.
I got a serious boner for this game.
I gotta come up with the card for this. It's gonna be half Final Fantasy 9 and half Rainbow Six.
Make it like 75% Final Fantasy 9 and then like the last little bit. And I'll tell you which character to use too. Because
I probably will do none of this. This is gonna be Final Fantasy 9.
That's fine. But yeah, so Rainbow Six Siege, I said it's like an adult grown up Overwatch I don't own every character in the game because after you complete matches, you get like the points that you earn.
You get a currency in game.
To unlock him. Of course, you can buy that if you want. Mm. Whatever.
That's a little disappointing.
Yeah, you can still earn it if you buy the regular version of the game. It's a lot easier to unlock the other people.
Mm-hmm.
I fucked up and bought the cheap version of the game, so it takes you a lot longer. But because I did that, I said, fuck it. And I went ahead and dumped $20 in and unlocked all the year 2 operators.
I was going to ask.
And I definitely feel better about doing that because I have a lot of characters unlocked that I like. So you play 2 different classes or 2 different characterizations of classes. You have an attacker class and a defender class.
Mm-hmm.
So defender, you're defending either a set of bombs or a hostage. Things like that. And the attacker, you're trying to defuse those or rescue the hostage. Or both teams can just eliminate all 5 members of the other team and you win that way because there's nothing to do. They only get 1 life. Mm-hmm. Ta-da.
Essentially, the time would run out and they're either all dead or you're all dead. So
yeah, and you can also just run the timeout. So like if there's
then the terrorists would win because the bomb wasn't found.
Yeah, whoever's defense wins if the time runs out. Because you didn't complete the objective.
I guess I said terrorist. I don't know if it is counter-terrorist, like Counter-Strike is.
It's just defenders and attackers. They don't really call it... it's not like Counter-Strike.
It's like Overwatch, where there's no nothing.
Yeah, even though there is a clearly defined good and bad guys in Overwatch, there's not in Siege, because in Siege you're only playing as like police and special forces units around the world. Like your FBI SWAT, Navy SEALs... British SAS special forces, you know, things of this
type,
the Italians, and they
the
all have
Italians.
Yeah,
that's it.
There's a Brazilian group,
the SAS, the Italians.
I don't know what their name is. The Gigan 9, Scottish people, the GS.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, all these things.
The Italians. It's just the Brad Pitt and his group from Inglorious Bastards.
Arrivederci.
Buongiorno.
Yes. But so, like, all right, so in Defender class, I like to play this chick named Valkyrie.
And yeah.
What she has is, so there's surveillance cameras in every level that your whole team can access. But mm-hmm. the enemy team can see those very easily. They're big and they're white, and they can shoot them, and that disables them.
Yeah.
Valkyrie has three cameras that she can throw anywhere on the map that the whole team can still access, and they're small little black circles, so you can hide them, and it's a nice advantage. Knowing where the enemy team is and where they're coming from gives you an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to have. So I like to play her a lot and throw them in, like, high traffic areas to see where people are going to be coming through.
Sure.
That's first part of the learning curve, is playing the maps enough to know
where people are gonna,
where pathways
where the traffic
are.
Goes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you spend a lot of time dying or throwing them in a spot where you don't see anything the whole game. And then your team yells at you like, what the fuck are you doing, Valkyrie? Why are you throwing that there? Happens a lot. It's okay.
You just described a Call of Duty match.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. You learn the match until you learn where people are, and then you eat the shit of everybody else yelling at you until you do.
Yeah.
That sounds exactly like a multiplayer community.
Yeah, it is.
All right, cool.
And there's a lot of shit talking, which I love.
Yeah.
Especially if you get me and Andy Eggleston together, man, the shit talking the two of us will throw out is almost bar none. Like, nobody can compare. And we don't even talk about it. We just see one of the, like, you can shit talk in type chat too, because it's PC. One of us sees the other one doing it. The other one just immediately jumps on board with him too. Yeah, what are you fucking doing, you idiot? Because we're horrible people. I fully admit that.
Gaming community is the worst.
Yes, as we have said many times. Attacker. So there's a chick I like to play called Hibana. She's Japanese.
Okay.
Pretty sure she's Japanese. Yeah. Her thing, she has this sort of grenade launcher that fires out these pellets. So,
okay, again, so the female Junkrat.
Similar. But, like, so the special thing about them is, so if you're on defense class, there are breakable walls out of Battlefield.
And oh, that's pretty cool.
So when you're on defense, you have barriers that they're like metal shutters almost that mm-hmm. you can attach to these breakable walls. There's only two characters that can go through that, Thermite and Hibana. And Hibana's are better than Thermite's, I feel, because they're a surprise. Like, when Thermite triggers his, there's like this, it's almost like episode one when they stick the lightsaber through the door.
Oh,
and you
cool.
know it's coming. With Hibana, you don't know it till that wall explodes.
Explosion.
Yeah, it's really cool. And she also has, like, flashbang grenades, so usually what I do is I trigger that to explode, and I have a flashbang cooking, and as soon as that explodes, I throw that in there. I'm going to just shoot people who are blinded. There's so much different things that you can go about and attack things.
Hmm.
You can rappel up and down walls on the outside of a building, and they're usually, like, boarded up with 2x4s. The defensive team can board up almost any doorway, any window.
Mm-hmm.
You can press a button that makes you, instead of going, like, up the normal way, you invert yourself so that, like, you could break the top of the window. And you're looking in upside down. And so it gives you another advantage.
Huh.
It's
okay.
All these weird little different things you're trying to do to gain an advantage over the enemy. At the same time, they have all these people that are trying to gain an advantage on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a character called Pulse on defense that has a heartbeat monitor that when he pulls it up, it's like the motion detector in Aliens, where, like, he's scanning, and if you're within a certain range, you're going to show up as a red dot on his thing, and he's going to know where you're at. There's
gotcha.
Nothing you can do about that. But at the same time, when he's doing that, he doesn't have his weapon ready, and it takes him a certain amount of time to put that away and pull his weapon out, so he's defenseless.
There's a little disadvantage to balance it out.
And it's been, like, fine-tuned to almost near-perfect gameplay.
Okay.
And it's so much
fucking
fun.
I'd say after 2 years, they probably have it down pretty well.
Yeah, dude. It's so much fucking fun. It really, really is.
Well, makes me sad that I will never play it.
But if you have PC, fucking get Rainbow Six Siege and play it with me, because year three, they're gonna announce it next month in February. All the new operators we're getting.
Oh yeah.
I think we're getting two new maps. I'm very, very, very excited about it. And I just got this game like 2 weeks ago, and I can't stop playing it.
Yeah. Well, come back to me in 2 months.
Okay.
And we'll see if you're still playing.
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing, because every game gets
it's got that excitement
for a while. Yes. And if it lasts past that month, because I feel like Star Wars Battlefront 2 maybe was me a little bit. Like, I was super, super into it. And then I think Overwatch 2 got a lot of the
I think the difference is like, again, it's the people that you play with on those multiplayer based. Like, you played a lot of Battlefront 2 by yourself at first because nobody else had it.
Yes, I did.
Everybody has Overwatch in our crew that we play with. We have fun with that. And a lot of people will migrate towards that. Same thing I'm having with Siege.
Yeah.
If I got people playing it, it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. You want to talk some more about Andy Eggleston? Because we kind of had a little announcement with him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure. You want me to give this announcement?
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
All right, I'll be the third party here, the gopher in between. So, you guys surely know about Twitch. It's a thing that exists where you stream things and watch people play video games, I guess, because you don't want to play your own. But that's okay.
Or
whatever.
Maybe you're at work.
Whatever. Who cares? I don't know. I guess you're a loser. Whatever. So, Twitch is a place where you losers, you go and you watch people play games. And Kyle does that on there, so you can watch him play games. But sometimes, Kyle has to work and do big boy things. And for that, we have an egg. Yeah. Are we just using his name now, or are we calling him an egg? I don't know.
Andy Eggleston.
Andy Eggleston. He is...
He's joined our Twitch.
League of Legends player. Yeah. A League of Legends player who is apparently pretty good.
He's better than anybody I know personally. I was talking to him about it the other day when I was going to announce that. So he has joined our team. He is another member. He is a member of the Twitch channel. He has access. He has full access. Cool fucking dude.
Very funny. Very wry sense of humor.
Yes.
But he would most likely be a good watch. I have not seen his streams yet, but I imagine they're going
to
be fun.
So he, to me, as far he is the best League of Legends player I know.
Sure.
He is pretty good, but he tells me he is very mid-level. He can get through, I guess, the gold classification.
Okay.
But after gold, I think there's diamond, and after diamond, there's platinum. And then there's, after platinum, there's master.
Master
is there's only room for like a certain number of people to be that. So
that's like the best of the best, the top 10.
There's not like once you get past platinum, you're a master. Like you have to be better than the lowest master to get that. From what I understand.
Damn, I wonder how many people are in that master
slot. I don't know.
Slot.
But anyways, so Andy is pretty confident he can get through most of gold, and he has done in all these ranked matches. But the new season just started.
Nice.
And he is, I think he's out of silver now. I think he's in the lowest level gold league.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you've ever, ever been interested in League of Legends and MOBAs in general, I would go watch that because.
Mm-hmm. Does he have a time where he's going to stream specifically?
He's generally been starting around 11 if I'm not home from work.
Okay.
So, and I, you know, follow us on Facebook, on Twitter. I always announce when either I or now when Andy is streaming. So
very good.
We always give that information out. And, you know, go say hi to the dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty cool guy. But other than the Twitch, Ryan, where else can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.com/experiencegrind. We do all of our business there. You'll find our full episode Fridays released there. We'll give you all of our announcements. Our community is at Facebook mostly. So go there, interact with us. We have a website, experiencegrind.com. We will archive all of our episodes there. So that's like the hub for everything. So if you're ever confused, go there. You can go to any of our places from there.
And I've said it for a while, but I think this year I'm going to try to actually start doing some actual written reviews on there.
Ooh, I wonder how this will go.
I am too. My plan is to try to start with Monster Hunter.
Okay.
So once we get into it, I'm going to try to take screenshots, move the screenshots to the computer.
No shit.
And use them and actually do some reviews.
Mm.
I want to try to step it up. It's kind of my new resolution for this year. So.
Very good. I might tweak that.
Sure.
And I don't know. In this day and age, I would not invest in written reviews because people are dumb and lazy.
Yes.
If you could if you could record your videos and do like a 5-minute review, I think that's a sweet spot now, that sadly.
Too. And I might get into that too. Mm-hmm. I know I still like a written review, but
yeah.
I don't want it to be as wordy as all.
Yeah.
So many fucking... Here's a problem with reviewers today.
You say Polygon? Went,
one of them. They went to this fucking journalism school bullshit, and they feel the need to be pretentious and write all these words. And I don't fucking care. Just tell me the basis. What's cool? What's not cool? Does the game work as a game? Let me know what you like and know if I have a similar taste or not. Ta-da! I don't need 19 paragraphs breaking it down. Give me like 3.
Well, I,
again, people want quickness. They want the time.
Yeah, I know. But as somebody who is that person who would do 19 paragraphs on something they love,
yeah,
I get it. And I can't hold, I can't rail against that. It's like, fucking great. If that's in you, fucking kudos.
And again,
if you can get paid to do it, fucking kudos.
There are other people out there
that's
doing
awesome.
That.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm not doing that, and I'm not getting paid.
I don't think that's what people want. I think people want the dumb PewDiePie, like, 5 to 10 minute video where you just give quick impressions. They don't have to be thought out. You don't have to use fucking words. You don't have to even pick up the source once. You don't have to. You just say, you know, vulgarities. You know, you
I'm
say
in.
Offensive shit.
I am fucking in.
Cash check. Gameplay
click,
done.
Click,
there you go.
Click,
I think that's what
click.
People want.
All right. That's what we're doing.
That's what people want.
You Monster gotta, Hunter is the fucking shit of all shits.
That's it. That's it. And then you got to just like N-word controversy. Tide Pod. Me
oh,
Too.
God.
Trump. 2018.
What about this Trump guy?
What about this Trump guy? Have you heard about him?
Have you heard about him?
He's the president of ours, the country.
Ryan, I love you, buddy.
I love you too, man.
This has been a really fucking fun episode.
I did not know if it was going to be this way with Final Fantasy IX as a topic,
good.
But we
made
it.
We're going to shut up now. Follow us, find us, talk to us. We really do love you guys. We come down hard, but... Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
And we will see you next time. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And we'll go fuck off. Bye.